All right, you're back in the DFSR, and this is our Daily Fantasy Baseball Podcast for Thursday, June 30th. I'm Doug Norrie, and I'm here with Austin Varney, who's going to be talking baseball for two sort of mini slates, an afternoon slate and an evening slate. Austin, how's it going, man?
Good, how are you?
Good. You awake?
Yep, right. Somewhat.
He's somewhat awake, yep. So he was like, Austin texted me this morning. He said, my alarm clock, I'm not sure if it's going to work. Just text me over and over until we, until I pick up, and then we'll get going. So we should be good. Austin was up late writing the picks last night. I have actually not read the picks yet, sort of to see if we disagree about anything going into today. For those of you that don't know, we're dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, dfsr.com. for short, and we're here to help you out with your Major League Baseball lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. We have a bunch of free content on the site that you can go check out on the main page. Then you also sign up for a 3-free day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, where you can hit calculate on optimal lineups, or you can choose features like double stacking, you know, exclude or lock in players, play the different slates, really everything you need to get yourself started for FanDuel and DraftKings. Free for 3 days. $29.95 after that. All right, Austin, let's get right to it because while there aren't that many games today, I do feel like there's a decent amount to talk about. Actually, real quick, before I do that, I just want to say last night was one of our better nights for probably the season in baseball. And we have a chat room going up on the main site where people kind of chime in and are able to talk about baseball. And last night it was just kind of really just going off because it was looking not great in the evening. And then the Yankees, not bottom of the ninth, happened, and yeah. McCann, I think he hit a grand slam. He went yard. Was it a grand slam?
Yeah, I think it was three-run.
Three-run homer, and then Didi finishes it off, and then that plus some pirate stacking had me sweating out a GPP finish kind of near the end, ultimately finished like, you know, 100th out of 15,000 in one of my lineups and kind of cycled it down there. But a really, really good night for the system. Very encouraged about the recent progress we've had there. And anyway, people don't like to talk too much about the past when it comes to DFS, but I figured it's worth it to mention. And head over to the chat room, see what people are talking about. If you want some, you know, user testimonials on the system, that's a good place to go too. Anyway, I've spent 2.5 minutes straight talking with you kind of chiming in with a not really able to get in over my filibuster. Let's talk about the early slate of games. What are your thoughts here? There's only three games, some decent pitchers going. Let's start with pitcher. Who do you think you can get behind in this three game slate?
Really, the only one I trust for cash games is Maeda, and the ballpark kind of does scare me. But in tournaments, I think you could get behind Rodon a little bit. I think you could get behind Pineda, but I also like the other side of those games in tournaments. So in cash games, I really think the only guy I'll have exposure to is Maeda.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think on DraftKings, I'm just fine rostering Rodon and Maeda together and just calling it a day. Rodon actually is projecting for more points in our system than Maeda on FanDuel, and I think part of that has to do because his money line is just skewing a little bit higher than Maeda. Yeah. Maeda gets the matchup against Davies, who's actually better than I thought he was to start the season, and Rodon gets Malone. So they both worry me a little bit. I'm actually a little surprised Rodon's coming in higher than Maeda. It doesn't make me feel great about it because I think you're right. Maeda is probably going to be the chalkier play. But, yeah, I'm pretty much with you on that. But I'm kind of worried on both of the guys.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Twins with Rodon does have a built-in strikeout, you know, safety. But he does scare me a lot. He can just walk three guys in a row and then just blow up, which I don't really see Maeda doing against the Brewers.
Right, and that's more of the issue is sort of that blow up potential. Rodon is elite against lefty bats and below average against righties, and he sort of meets in the middle with different lineups because he has such a difficult time getting righties out. And while the Twins aren't, you know, they don't scare you from like a superstar upside point of view. They don't really have anyone in there. They will throw maybe like 6 or 7 righty bats at him today. And guys like, you know, Nunez and Grossman will hit from the right side. Dozier, Plouffe. Those guys aren't great, but they're serviceable against lefties. And that's kind of what worries me a little bit. I think, I'm just a little worried. I'm actually a little worried that the system has Rodon like a couple points higher than Maeda.
Right.
And we'll kind of have to see how things shake out during the day. I might have to like backtrace some of the reason why. But yeah, those are my I'm with you. I'm uneasy about it, but I do think those are the two clear plays. Do you think you could even go the other way with a guy like Davies?
I really don't, just because of the ballpark. If they were in L.A. and it wasn't hot, I would consider it. But I don't think that you really need to pay down. For offensive-wise, I'm going to be on the White Sox and Yankees. So McCann did get hurt. I don't know if you saw yesterday on his home run trot.
Oh, he did, and I didn't see that. I was following the game, and I had like three other games on MLB, but I did not have the Yankee game on. What happened to him?
He like rounded first, and then like grimaced and stuff, but then he did come up and hit another home run. But I don't think he's going to play at one. I really don't. So that is going to give me, you know, a really cheap guy. And if A-Rod's probably not going to be in there because I had him last night, he sucks. And
Girardi's not going to play him because you
think he's guys in the Yankees lineup to get exposure to. So I don't really think it's necessary to pay down a pitcher.
It's interesting about the salary today on this early slate for DraftKings especially. So one thing that I think you can see end up happening on this early slate is I don't think you're going to need to fill all 50,000 of your salary on DraftKings. No. And even like a first run at lineups is coming in somewhere around 1,300 below the cap. And one thing to just pay attention to is, are you getting – you can get into a dangerous situation if you just are paying up for – all the way up for players just because
just
you have
it.
Exactly. Just because you have the salary doesn't necessarily mean you have to do it, especially on a short slate like this. So just pay pretty close attention to, are you getting the most value out of your lineup and can you leave money on the table? Because I think there's going to be some situations where you can. Like, I could see people like talking themselves into paying up to $5,000 for, like, say, Ian Desmond. And
yeah.
I'm just not totally sure that makes sense when it comes to just projected points, because we have a couple guys, you know, I have like five guys in front of him projected for slightly more points than him.
Yeah.
That are all coming cheaper. So it is an interesting thing. I think this will be one of the few times where I could stare down at like a cash game lineup for DraftKings and maybe not be all the way up to the salary, you know, up all the way up and zeroing out the lineup or like having 100 left over. Maybe there will be 1,000 left over. I'm not sure. It's going to take looking at what those lineups end up being. And it's a good call on McCann. There's a good chance with the day-night piece of it that he ends up not playing.
Right.
In tournaments,
is there any like offense that you really like? To me, it's the Rangers because Pineda's just blow up potential and they have some good lefties in that stadium. But is there anyone that really sticks out?
Yeah, Rangers a little bit. White Sox, I'll probably trend White Sox against the lefty.
Yeah, they're my favorite. Like,
yeah.
Cash game for sure.
I think going like an Abreu, Frazier, Anderson, right? Even Eaton. Eaton's platoon neutral, like as platoon neutral as a guy can get, really. Like, he's. Mm. Slightly worse against lefties for his career, but nothing that would scare you off. He's still an above average hitter against lefties. And so even those four guys at the top of the lineup, I have no problem. Their run expectation is higher than I think everyone else in the slate.
Yep.
They 5.1 for them, 4.8 for the Yankees. And actually, if McCann were out of the lineup, I could see a situation where their run line drops a little bit after lineups are released. So yeah, I think it's White Sox clearly for really getting as many of those guys in. I'm not like in love with the Rangers because I think Pineda is actually a little better than people think.
I agree.
Because he has run a little bad this season, but he will let up the fly ball and you can run into problems in Yankee Stadium. And
I can see that going both ways. Like, you know, 6 innings, 8 Ks, 2 runs or 2 innings, 9 earned runs and 1 strikeout.
Right. Texas of those three teams don't. I mean, it's also going to be site dependent too, right? So on FanDuel, the Texas guys are decent deals. Not as much on DraftKings, I don't think. But yeah, I think I'm just going to need to see how some lineups shake out come around. And we'll probably know that most of that by like 11 o'clock and probably be set. I think in terms of, you know, we're not going position by position for this early slate. But I think in terms of at least like chalk plays, I think Anderson ends up becoming a chalk play.
He's awesome.
Yeah, and he's just – there's no reason to not play. His price has creeped up a little bit on FanDuel, but not enough really for this. Frazier is going to be up there for me, and Abreu. Those guys are – I'm probably going to anchor most lineups around.
Yeah, I'd agree. And then just as a one-off, I really like Justin Turner against Davies. He hits righties better than lefties. His ballpark's really good for right-handed power. So he's been swinging well. I could see him finally getting – you know, on the board against these guys.
I always expect the Dodgers lineup to just be better than it is, and I don't know if it's because it has like some name recognition that doesn't get backed up by actual stats.
Puig is so bad.
Right, and then like guys like Gonzalez and Utley, those guys have name value, but I'm not sure their name value translates all the time to actual offensive value. Gonzalez got ejected last night for like
I saw that
slowly shaking his head and walking away calmly from the umpire. I had him in DraftKings lineups. I was like, I fairly tilted off that because it just made no sense. But yeah, so I think there's some interesting things to consider here. The sort of the theme of the day, and it translates to the night slate, is that we have a bunch of good, not great pitchers going. And whenever that is happening, the value in the bats really sort of crystallizes between just a few teams because, like, you know, Malone is clearly the worst pitcher on this slate. And so you just need to just target the worst arms. Because and when we get talking about the evening slate, it's the same thing. Just lots of good pitchers, not so many great ballparks. And, you know, we'll be able to hone down a little bit more on the bats. Any other final thoughts on the early slate? I know we didn't really go position by position. Did we think we cover most of the guys here?
No, I think basically in cash games, just my A-Day Yankees and White Sox. And then in tournaments, really, you could play with whoever on such a small slate.
Yeah, double stack a couple things. Maybe take some guys at the bottom of the lineup. Don't be afraid to leave some cash on the table in tournaments today. You don't need to don't worry about filling out all of your salary here with so few teams because you can just get separation even from some bottom of the lineup guys.
Right.
All right, let's move on to the evening group of games. Only 8 games here. Some interesting pitching. I think the hitting options sort of for me are gonna be drilled down to only a few teams. But one of the reasons I actually didn't read your picks last night was because I was just wondering if we were going to be on the same page about pitcher here. And I didn't want to be corrupted by whatever it is you wrote. So not that I didn't want to read it, but I just kind of wanted to go in not knowing who you had picked. So even though we work off the same system, obviously, because the picks that we write are informed by our projections. It wouldn't make sense to do it a different way. But who stands out to you at pitcher today? A lot of good arms going, and I'm just wondering if we're on the same page here.
Well, when I first looked at the slate, obviously you see a guy like Bumgarner. Mm-hmm. You just see that name, and then you look at the situation. But looking at how this line came out, I'm very, very scared. The 3.13 run total for the Athletics seems about right. But then when I look at the money line, it's at -153. The Giants are only projected to score 3.87 runs, so that scared me off a little bit. I don't know. I haven't really done much into this Overton guy because he doesn't really have many numbers. But maybe he's legit. So I think Gio Gonzalez is probably going to be my favorite cash game guy. If this game was in Cincinnati, I probably wouldn't even touch him because of his home run problems. But it's in Washington, so this lineup is just atrocious. Maybe Zach Cozart or Phillips could do something since he's a strikeout home run pitcher. But other than that, I think he's perfectly fine against Votto, Bruce, Duvall strikes out a ton. So in cash games, I'll probably gonna lean on Gio. But in tournaments, I think there's a lot of options.
So, okay, I'm going to back up to Bumgarner. I'm with you. I'm very confused about this line. It doesn't make – Overton is not very good. Okay, so let's start there.
That's what I saw.
Right. So his minor league numbers are borderline bad. And if you're minor league – I mean, borderline bad for a minor league pitcher being called up. Like, you know, a 318 FIP in the minors is, like, fine. But for a guy getting called up into the majors – he's only had one game, so the one game sample size I'm not worried about so much because who knows. But his minor league numbers don't necessarily strike me as a guy who has electric stuff. This line to me makes no sense. It makes me feel like I'm missing something, like you said, and maybe someone can bring up to me what they think that reasoning is. But it opened at -175 and instantly dropped to -151 within the first like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
And I just can't figure out why. So the only reasoning I can think behind it is people think Bumgarner is slightly overrated, which it might be the case. Like his ERA is not reflective of, say, his xFIP, which I believe is like in the mid-threes. And so, you know, that's something, I guess. But his numbers are still elite. He's still by far the best talent on the slate. So, right, his ERA is 1.99. His xFIP is 3.44. That's a pretty big difference. He's run pretty good in BABIP. Pretty good also in left on base percentage. I mean, but this is a situation where, and I said, I don't do this often, but this is a situation where I would probably short of new information, which I haven't gleaned from anywhere, and we'll look in more to it, this is something that I would consider putting in something on the Giants at minus 150 for Bumgarner. Like, it just doesn't, it just strikes me as weird. Now, okay, so that's the Bumgarner thing out of the way. The Geo thing. I think I would go a different direction. And a guy that I like and our system likes slightly more raw points, but there's a price consideration in here, is Lackey. And I think Lackey for me will end up being, short of a massive line correction here on Bumgarner or something else really happening, Lackey is a guy that I'll probably end up targeting in cash games. The Mets offense is pretty rough right now. They really are, they're hitting guys. You know, Granderson was a late scratch last night. They threw Diaz at the top of the lineup.
James Loney.
Yeah, Loney's in there. Brandon Nimmo is getting time. They're hitting guys like Neil Walker, middle of the lineup. Cespedes is righty-righty. This is a situation where the Mets are just not the same Mets at the beginning of the year, and the offense is really struggling. Lackey's peripherals are fine this year. Striking out more than a batter an inning, walking around 2.5. His xFIP is only 3.62, which, you know, like I said, compared to Bumgarner at 3.44, that's not a crazy difference. Lackey's problem here is the matchup against Mats is worse, so his win expectation gets dipped down some because Mats is a real pitcher, and the Cubs will, you know, struggle to score a little bit more against him. But he strikes me as much safer than Gio, just for strictly cash game considerations.
Yeah, I would say he's definitely safer. But I do think Gio does have some built-in strikeouts, which is usually referred to as upside. But I think, you know, that does bring a little bit of safety.
Mm-hmm.
But in tournaments, there are like a few guys that I really, really like. Is there anyone, like, who do you like as a tournament, strict tournament play only?
As a strict tournament play only? I mean, Gio strikes me as a tournament play, at least on FanDuel. Now, let me rewind here for a second, too. On DraftKings, I'm fine playing them both. Like, Gio at 7,400 is probably a no-brainer for me there. Yeah. I want to be really site-specific here. On FanDuel, I'm probably, at this point, if I were to make the and lock the lineup right now, I would go with Lackey. But that could change a little bit. On DraftKings, I would lock them both in at right around 18,000 worth of salary and get out of that pretty easily and be able to load up on some of the bats down the way, because I'm going to need to take money out for, there's like two teams that have run expectations higher than everybody, and I think you do need to spend up for those guys today. In terms of tournaments, I could take a look at a guy like Taijuan Walker against the Orioles. The Orioles strike out a decent amount against righties. The ballpark helps Walker here, getting the Orioles out of Camden Yards. I know they put runs up against the Padres yesterday, but Walker's he's a real pitcher. Eight Ks per nine, doesn't walk a ton of guys. xFIP right around average, maybe a little tick better than average. He'd be strictly a tournament play for me if I could sniff out some K upside on the Orioles. It doesn't like make me go crazy about it, and I think I'll probably limit my exposure to guys like Gio and Lackey today. But what about you? Do you like Walker, or do you have another guy in mind?
Yeah, I really do like Walker, but I think in tournaments, my guy's probably going to be Carrasco. This Blue Jays offense is elite, no doubt about that, but Carrasco is, when he's on his game, he has Cy Young stuff. So if he's able to come out early and just strike out three or four guys in the first two innings, I don't know. I could see these guys laying down. Everyone in this lineup has strikeout potential. Pilar, Encarnacion, Donaldson, Saunders, they all strike out a ton. So if he has his slider working, I think it could be a long day for the Jays.
They're pretty righty-heavy down the lineup. I know Carrera hits to the top of the lineup. The thing that scares me with Carrasco is the xFIP looks good, but the Ks are down this year to like less than 8 per 9. And that always worries me just a little bit when you have a young guy who all of a sudden, you know, drops a little bit in strikeout. Like, maybe he's, I'm not sure what the issue, that's the only thing that scares me. That's the number that jumps off the page at me a little bit, is why have the strikeouts dipped a little? He looks, and just from a quick glance, it looks like he's going to his fastball a little less this year. So last year it was 56% of the time. This year's only 53% of the time, going way less with his slider. But he's really starting to rely a little more heavily on the curveball. Like, his curveball usage has doubled since last year. So, I mean, read into those numbers what you will about why you know, but why the strikeout numbers have gone down a little bit, but there's been a clear difference in his approach on the mound now. Like when you start throwing a pitch twice as much as you've thrown it over the last 2 years, you're just going for, you're going for a totally different approach. And I don't know, that's the only thing that worries me a little bit. But I do agree that he does have elite stuff. And I just want to cycle back real quick. And if someone has an idea about this Bumgarner line, I mean, this is how confused I am by it. Like, please, please weigh in and say, hey, Doug, you're missing this big thing, idiot. You know, like get your S together, because this is the thing that you're missing. But I just really looked for a while at this morning and couldn't see it.
Yeah, and I guess I'll give a word of caution on the pitcher. I feel like Odorizzi might be looked at just because he's a righty. The Tigers throw out a bunch of righties. But I think he honestly gets blown up. I have the Tigers in my stacks article. He has a 346 wOBA against righties this year, and it's all backed up by peripherals. So, I mean, I know it looks good because I do like to target righties against the Tigers, but not him.
Yeah, he's not a guy that I'm going to be on. I think there's plenty of other these more sort of mid-range options. I don't think you really need to go after Mats against the Cubs, even though his stuff is about as good as anybody else's on this slate, but just has the worst matchup. I don't think you need to go there. I'm not even sure there's a ton of upside for him there just because of how good the Cubs are. Go ahead.
Sorry to stop you, but did you see what Bochy's doing with Bumgarner tonight?
No.
He's first time in history forfeiting DH to hit him.
Is he really? That's amazing.
Yeah, which, I mean, it sounds fun, but I don't think it's a good move.
That didn't even compute with me at first what you meant. On its surface, it seems like a terrible idea, but I mean, he can hit. I just looked up his stats real quick. Like, two seasons in a row, he had like a 1,200 OPS and a really limited sample size. So I don't know. It doesn't strike me as gimmicky more than like an actual smart move. And but I don't know. Yeah, it strikes me as a gimmick. I don't know why. It just seems like fraught with peril. I mean, why have your pitcher run out there and hit and run around the bases and get hurt?
Right.
Like, that's where it just doesn't seem to make any sense to me. All right, let's go over to the bats real quick, and let's just talk about a couple teams that we can target here. I'm not positive we need to go position by position, because I do think that there's just a few teams that I'm going to be targeting. We can look at like maybe the cash game targets and maybe a few stacks here and there that we can sort of build our lineups around. If I'm looking to just go strictly cash games here, I want to get some built-in safety from the bats. What are there one or two teams that stick out to you?
Cash games, you definitely. Tournaments, I'll have a hot take, but for cash games, I think the Nationals and Cardinals obviously are the two.
Yeah.
Chris Young, he's so bad. He has a 53 hard contact rate against lefties, which is like Stanton when he has like 9 home runs in 1 week. So I don't see how these guys don't put up a ton of runs in the early innings. And then the Nationals are a really weird team today, because Finnegan's worse against lefties, but he's not really bad against either. He has like a 302 wOBA against righties and a 322 against lefties. So I think they're all in play, but I don't know if I'm super confident in any of them.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be pretty much running cash games with just those two teams. Short of a player thrown in here or there because they moved up in the lineup, or they're coming a little bit cheaper, or I just need to just sort of round it out because the prices on the Nats and the Cardinals, you won't be able to fit just those teams in there. You know, just guys like Harper and Carpenter alone on FanDuel over 4,000. I would call Harper just about a must play in cash games, even against the lefty. And Carpenter's pretty darn close too, just because those two guys, top of the lineup, they're in the best matchups. You know, if a guy like Michael Taylor moved up against the lefty today, he probably is in play as a top play, at least on FanDuel at 2,900. Worth is always in the consideration. If he's at the top, he should be in the two-hole against the lefty. Those guys are pretty clear for me. And I'm with you, too, like the Cardinals, Peralta, Adams. These are really the main guys we're going to want to focus on for cash games. And I don't think they're not priced out of consideration at all on either site, especially if you go Lackey and Geo on DraftKings. You're not worried about the salaries at all. If you go Geo or Lackey on FanDuel, you're not worried about the salary. So I think those two teams are easily the cash game plays. If you went, you said you had a hot take about a tournament stack to go, who are you thinking?
Well, I guess it's anti of that, and it is not intelligent, maybe, but the Royals kind of scare me, that bullpen. If Chris Young's able to just scrape by with like 5 innings, 3 runs, and somehow that's to like Colton Wong on a double, and somehow, you know, the Royals score 3 or 4 runs, this game's close going into the 6th, chances are the Cardinals are going to get shut down the rest of the way, maybe one or two runs. So I am a little hesitant on that. When you look at the Nationals, they're going against the worst bullpen in the league, so I'd probably be a little more confident in that. Another thing is they're both at home, so they only are guaranteed to get 8 innings. So I think I might throw a little bit of fade on the Cardinals in tournaments, but in cash games, definitely 100% not.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially with the Royals bullpen. The bullpen differences are significant, especially if the game can stay close. Like, I'm famous for never targeting against Chris Young correctly. I think that guy's pitched his best games ever.
The Yankees, he always pitches against them and throws like 8 innings.
Yeah, that sounds like a very familiar scenario for me, at least from last year. But, right, so let me tier the cash game plays. I agree with you that it is first the Nationals, and then 1A for me is the Cardinals. If I'm trying to get more bats in from one team, it's definitely the Nationals first. And their prices are actually a little bit easier to fit anyway. Mm-hmm. So after those two teams, if you wanted to go off board with either of those two squads, where do you think you can go?
To touch on cash games real quick, I think Yelich might be my favorite, you know, overall cash game play. But in tournaments, the Tigers probably are my favorite. Underowned, super underowned. Other than that, I think there's a couple others, but Miggy's has hit righties just as good as he hits lefties. Kinsler hits righties well. Maben or Upton, whoever ends up being at the top of the lineup, I like a lot. V-Mart's switch hitter, so he's always going to have the platoon advantage. And they're going to have 9 innings of batting, so I really do like them. And I think almost every other pitcher has blow-up upside, or downside. Mm-hmm. Besides maybe Bumgarner, but I guess you never really know with this Vegas line. So, yep.
Let me give you a quick guide. So Miggy's still 3,600 on FanDuel. Would you go Miggy for 3,600 or Zimmerman at 3,300 against Finnegan?
Miggy.
Interesting. It's close. It's closer than I would have thought for me, but I probably would go Miggy too.
But yeah, I guess we should have touched on this a little bit earlier. But what are your thoughts as a whole on the Marlins Braves game? I mean, Foltynewicz, I think, just came out with, he has a 90-pitch limit this tonight, so I definitely won't be targeting him. But Wee Ann Chen, I guess it's hard not to look at against the Braves. He's a lefty. Oh, I looked at a stat. This doesn't really have anything to do with this. But if you add up the Braves WRC+ and the Phillies, they would still be the third best team in the league.
Oh, really?
I just thought that was bafflingly horrible.
Well, it's interesting. Like, back to this game, one of the Marlins guys are coming in a little lower in the system because, you know, we modeled slightly of Vegas odds, so when there was no line showing up there, they all defaulted to a lower run line. But I have a feeling that once this line gets posted and the Marlins tick up to like maybe like 4.4 expected runs, something like that, you'll see an uptake from a guy like Yelich, I think, and maybe an Ichiro, probably not as much him. But the Marlins are going to end up being probably – they probably are in the conversation a little bit more than I had factored them in early, just because there's just the information is incomplete for me at this point on them.
Right.
So that is a team that probably ends up coming, shows up a little more than I originally thought they would. Let me give a couple more of this guy or that guy before we bounce out of here. Third base, they're about the same price on both sites. Would you do Johnny Peralta or Anthony Rendon?
I think both are obviously great plays, but I think I'm going to default to Rendon just because of the bullpen, like I mentioned, and the run line is a bit larger. He has the handedness splits. Peralta's a righty. Young's a righty. He's not really atrocious against righties relative to his 500 wOBA against lefties.
Right.
So I'd probably lean on Rendon, and third base really is pretty tough, so probably going to be slim pickings.
I'd probably go Peralta there. It depends. It's going to depend where he hits. If he hits second again, I think he hit second last night. If he hits second again, although I'm not sure that's going to happen against the righty, but if he hits second again, I would definitely go Peralta. If they're around the same spot in the lineup, like that 5, 6, 7 spot, I mean, Rendon hits a little lower. It's probably a little closer. I'd probably end up going Rendon just for the overall run line. In the outfield, would you go a guy like Brandon Moss or Nelson Cruz, let's say, against Tillman?
In cash games, I think it's super easy. You just plug in Moss and move on, especially if, you know, he's in a good part of the lineup. But in tournaments, I really do think it's a toss-up. Both do have a, you know, double home run upside, but Cruz is probably going to hit that a lot more than Moss will. However, I do think Moss is probably the guy I'll go with in both cash games and tournaments.
Yeah, today's weird. I mean, I was just like even cycling through for this guy or that guy, and just not really much was jumping out to me on this. There's, which ends up striking me just as like, let's do some cash games and just kind of just get out of here. Like that would be probably the way I would target tonight. Though, like I said earlier, that the pitching situation with Bumgarner just has me a little bit thrown off, as evidenced by now I've mentioned it like six times. So you can just tell I'll thrown off. Give me just a couple more names that I can target maybe in tournaments if I want to just go way against the chalk on this late slate. Anyone that we haven't mentioned, there's just a couple. Is there any guys where if I wanted to just, they're going to be super low, under-owned, but are in okay spots?
Yeah, I like Chris Davis, not the one against Taiwan, the one against Bumgarner.
Chris with a C, not Chris with a K. Got it?
Right. I like Chris Bryant against Mats. Even though Mats is a good pitcher, you know, Bryant mashes lefties, so he always has that type of upside. I really like Adam Duvall. He might be highly owned. I don't know if people are going to fade Gio. They'll probably go with him just because the way he's exploded this year is amazing. And then I think the Indians go under-owned. And if the knuckle's not moving, we know how bad it can be. So someone like Lindor, Kipnis, Santana, I think they're all in play and will probably be less than 10% owned.
Yeah, the Indians was the team I was going to mention as an under-owned. The prices have climbed a little bit over the short term, so it doesn't make them stand out from a points per dollar point. But Dickey is one of the worst arms on this slate, and that's probably the best hitter's park by far that you see going tonight in Toronto. So those things line up for me. I probably will end up throwing some Cleveland stacks in there for the reasons you mentioned. Under-owned, good situation, and they of the teams that don't have like necessarily the highest expected run total, I can see them being a team that could eclipse it more than some of these other teams. All right, I think we covered the two slates worth of games today. Really interesting day in baseball. Take a look at our site, dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, dfsr.com for short. Get a free 3-day trial to the projection system powered by Lineup Lab. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. And if you want some user testimonials, just head over to the site, get into the chat room, start asking questions. You'll see people will jump in and give you their fair assessment of what it is we're doing over at DFSR. Austin, man, good to talk to you. Glad you woke up in time. And I guess you and I will probably end up talking again next week.
Yep.
All right, everyone, take it easy. Have a good Thursday.